Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Begin 5 lines down with the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, that is, the Gemara had introduced many different interpretations. What is the source that we learned in our previous Mishnah regarding the Isra Bas B'chalav? Although it says in the Torah regarding only not cooking it, there's also a prohibition of eating and having benefit. So the last interpretation recorded was that of Isi ben Yehuda, who he says, you know the Isra of eating Bas B'chalav from a comparison of the Gzereshav of the word Kaidish that it says over here by Bas B'chalav, and it says over there by Trefa, just like over there it's forbidden to be eaten, so too over here. And where do we know Isra Hanah? So he says, you know that from a Mahatzad, which means you learn it from the common denominator of Arla, Chametz and Pesach, and Kalah HaKerem, that those things are forbidden to be eaten, and is of a prohibition of having benefit, so too regarding Bas B'chalav. And the Gemara introduced, why do you have to learn that from Orla, Chametz of Pesach, and Kalei HaKerem? Why not just from Orla and Chametz of Pesach, and you go back and forth, and you'll see each one's unique characteristic is not the defining characteristic, and you could learn that Chametz of Pesach from the two of them? Is because then we would be able to ask, even the Pircha Kaldehu, which there is something unique that they have that Bas B'chalav doesn't have, even though it's not a stringency, that of Gedula Karka, that they have growth from the ground. Therefore, we introduced a third element, and as Rashi had explained the Gemara regarding the Messiah, that's the Halacha Meshem Sinai, when you're learning it from three different things, then you can't just ask a Pircha Kaldehu. It wouldn't be enough to say that Klag Karim is also from the three of them together, that it's Gedula Karka, and you'd have to find a specific stringency that it has, which it doesn't have, and therefore, that's why you could learn out from the three of them that they have Isra Hanah, so too regarding Bas B'chalav. However, on that theme, the Gemara continues asking, and Velifrich, why didn't, however, Isi ask on that and say, well, Malakla HaKerem, no, there actually is a unique stringency that applies to Klai HaKerem that you shouldn't be able to learn out to Bas B'chalav, that is Shekin Lohaisel and Shasa Kaisher. It never had an opportune time, just like it had asked originally regarding Arla. And that's why we couldn't learn now Bas B'chalav from Arla, and that's why we have to learn from Chametz and Pesach, and then we couldn't learn from Chametz and Pesach because there's this Karis, so we have to go back, and instead of learning from Arla, we said we learned out from Klai HaKerem because we wanted a third element, because that changes the Messiah instead of going back to Arla. But the question should be, but how could you go learn out from Klai HaKerem? You're back to the question, well, there's a certain stringency that Klai HaKerem has that it never had a time to be permitted, in contrast to by Bas B'chalav. Before you mixed the meat and the milk, they were permitted. Because the assumption of the Gemara right now in its question is that the only thing that becomes prohibited when you plant other seeds in a vineyard is only the growths, but the original seeds themselves are not forbidden, and those growths never had a moment of permissibility. So that should be a stringency that it should tell us, okay, well, then you can't learn that from them. And, okay, you have to go back to Chametz and Pesach, but that's where the teaching ends. Why does it end over there? On that, Amravat Barahavi says, well, Zoysemeris, so that will tell us from the fact that Isi did not ask this question and require a going back and forth in the Matzah, that Klai HaKerem Ikar Nesa, regarding forbidden planting in the vineyard, that actually even the original seeds that were planted, from when they take root, that they're also forbidden. Oh, and therefore, Vahayt Lehen, those seeds, they had a Shasa Kosha, they had all the days from when they came into the world, they had a moment of permissibility, Koyed Mashrash, before they took root, and therefore, that wouldn't be able to be the stringency that Klai HaKerem has over Bas B'chalav. Actually, it would be the same, because both of them are permitted until they become forbidden, and therefore, that's why Isi didn't ask it, and therefore, that's where the Mahatzad ended, to learn it out from those three of Orla, Chametz and Pesach, and Klai HaKerem. However, on this answer of Avad Bar Ava, must of Rav Shamaya Bar Zeira, he asked from a Mishnah Masechtas Klai. Mishnah tells us, Hamaver Atzis Nakav, if someone passes by, he carries through a perforated pot, and in that pot there's seeds, there's something that's planted, and he passes through that plant, Bekerim, in a vineyard. Now, since the plant, the pot is perforated, so it's nourishing, it's getting growths from the vineyard. So says the Mishnah, Im Haisif, if it adds, in from when it's in the vineyard, one of Masayim, one of a 200th, meaning that yerek, that vegetable, whatever it is, or whatever seeds there are that planted in that pot, if it grows, and now there's a ratio of only 199 of the permitted vegetable itself, but now 1/200th of it has an element of the vineyard in it, of that growth that are prohibited as a mixture of Klai HaKerem, well then, Usser, that whole plant is going to be forbidden. Now, for sure, if it increased even more than that ratio, that it would for sure be forbidden, because klah karim, a forbidden mixture of other seeds in the vineyard, are only nullified when you have a ratio of at least 200 of permissibility and one of iser. So therefore, if you only have 199 of that original growth of the permitted vegetable, and then now you have growths from that you're getting from the vineyard, that is 199 to 1, that wouldn't be enough, that would be forbidden. Now, says the Gemara, but what you see from that Mishnah is hoisif in. It's only if it added on to have that ratio of the new growths that it would make it forbidden if you don't have enough to nullify it. But loy hoisif, but if it didn't add on at least a 200th, but rather less than that, for example, let's say you have the permissible has 200, and this is only 1 to that 200, then loy, then it wouldn't be forbidden to be permitted. But why? You're saying that even the original plant itself becomes forbidden when it comes and it gets planted in the vineyard. So what are you talking about the growth that you need to have 200 to 1 and then it's nullified? But you don't have anything. Even the original Yerik itself, all the 100, 200, 300 of that becomes forbidden itself. So, but from that Mishnah, it sounds like that no, only the new growths are the prohibited element, and that could be nullified if you have 200 of the original plant. That contradicts what the Gemara was saying before, what could be inferred from EC, not asking that question. So Abaye says, not difficult. It says, Trei Kroik Sivi. In the Pasuk itself that talks about the prohibition of Klai Karim, there's two contradictory Pasukim. On the one hand, Ksiv, it says over there in the Pasuk in the Varm, which in Perichov based Pasuk test, says, don't plant your vineyard climb. And the Pasuk says, Pentiktish HaMaleya. Because maybe the Malaya, which sounds like from the term of Miluyoy, of the growth, the additions, that maybe that's going to become forbidden. So that sounds like only the growths. Uksib, but the word right after that says, when it says Pentiktish HaMaleya, it says, Hazera Shetizra Subuas HaKarim. So it says the word Hazera, which that sounds like the seed itself. So Haketza, how do we even interpret this pasuk? What's becoming forbidden? Only the new growths or the original seeds? Which is the same contradiction basically we're asking before. And that says Abaya, that's not difficult. Haketza. Zeruim Ikarai, if its original planting was made in the vineyard, so then it becomes immediately prohibited by Hashrasha with it taking root, the original seeds. But Zeruo Ba, but if it already was planted, it was already took root in the permissible situation out of the vineyard, like the case of the potted plant that we're talking about, with the perforated potted plant that we're talking about, then you need to have that the prohibition has to be in the Malaya, in the growth itself. And therefore, when we said before in the Gemara that Isi's teaching was saying Klai Kerem Yechiach, that it's going to disprove, we were talking about that which had a Shas HaKosher, for example, like that which is a Ruah Mekar, which most cases usually like that. Usually the Klai Kerem that you're doing is that you're planting that original seed in the vineyard, then Haysif in, Loi Haysif Loi. Then we're saying regarding if it's, meaning the other case that we had asked from the Mishnah Masechtas Klaim, there, if it already was planted beforehand, only if it adds on that it's going to be less than the ratio of 200 to 1 that's going to be prohibited, Loi Haysif Loi, but if not, it's going to be permitted, that's because it's Ruah. But again, as we said before, but our previous Gemara of Isi, which was saying that even the original, the seeds themselves are prohibited, is because that was Zeruah Mikare. That's what the Pasuk means when it says Zera, even the seeds become forbidden, is when you're planting it in, the original planting is in the vineyard, then everything becomes prohibited, and there is not a contradiction. That's the two different halachas that we see in the Pasuk. Now, continuing with the halacha of our Mishnah, says the Gemara Masnin, our Mishnah, which we've been explaining up until now, tells us not only is there Isser Bishl Bas Bechav, but also of eating and also of Hanav, of having benefit. Says the Gemara, that halacha of our Mishnah is Delohi Ki Haitana. It's not like the following Tana. The time like learn the Braiser, Bishim Ben Yehuda, Oim Mishim Ben Yehuda, he says, Bas Bechal of Asa Bachila. He says, yes, a prohibited mixture of meat and dairy is prohibited to be eaten. But Umut Banah, he disagrees, says, permitted to have benefit from it. Shnemek is the way he learns one of the hekish that we Gezer Shabbat that we had originally. He says it. The pasuk says in Devarim Kiam Kadoshat. When it says by the pasuk Basim Bachal, it says because you're a holy people. Now Menemel Halan says over there in Shemais Vanchi Kodesh Tiyunli, and the holy people you should be for me. That's where it's talking about by the Isser of eating a treifa animal. Now, so he says Malahal Nasim Bachilu Motvan. No, just like over there it says Kodesh, and that treifa is forbidden to be eaten, but it's permitted to have benefit, like the pasuk says over there, like Kelav Tashlich Naisai, the treifa animal you throw to the dogs and you get benefit from that. Afkan Nasim Bachilu Motvan. No, so over here by Basim Bachal, although it's permitted to be eaten, but it is permitted to have benefit. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva Omer, he said that Chayva Eif Vechulu, wild animals, birds, And Behemet Tmeya, they're not biblically prohibited in the Isser of Basa B'chal. And he learns it out from the three times that says, Leisavashal Gedi Bechalevimai, Gedi, three times, one's excluding Chai, one's excluding Elif, one's excluding Behemet Tmeya. Now that is the Gemara, Bahani Ho'afkinu Lid the Kedush Shmuel. But we need them for the teaching of Shmuel, which we said previously in the Afkov Yimel and Beis. He already uses the terminologies of Gedi, where he says, one's coming to include that it's even going to be Aser, Chalev, or Nevela, or Mesa, where, although it's already prohibited, but that's coming to tell you that the Isra of Bas B'chol will take effect on them. The second one is coming to tell you that a fetus is also Aser, as the Isra of Bas B'chol with milk. And the third one is to exclude that of a non-kosher animal. So Behemet Tmeya is one that he shares in common with Rabbi Kiva, but the other two, how could Rabbi Kiva say that the terminology of Gedi is coming to exclude Chaya and Aiv? But you need one Gedi to include not only a kid goat, but also the Chalev and a dead animal, and also to include a fetus. Says the Gemara, it's not difficult because Ksav Rabbi Kiva holds Issa Chalalissa. He holds in general, something that's prohibited could take effect, that a new prohibition could take effect in it too. So chalav amesa leitzrichi kra. So he doesn't need, like Shmuel does, to utilize it to include that of chalav, that it's part of the animal, like the meat, and that of nevela, because when it says gedi, of course it's going to include chalav amesa, because of those are obviously gedis. The only reason why Shmuel needed to include it is because it's already prohibited. So Esther should not be Chal Nessa. On that, Rabbi Kiva has no problem with that, because although it's already prohibited, in general we'll say in Esther Chal Nessa, if there was no Reba, Rabbi Kiva holds that no, Esther is Chal Nessa. So therefore you don't need a Pasik to include them for Chalev and Mesa, and rather they're just included from the regular understanding of saying Gedi. So that's one Pasik that he doesn't need to use like Shmuel. And the second one, Shlil Gedi Mal Yehu, says a fetus, that's a regular kid goat. He doesn't hold that you need that either to be learned out from the Pasik. So Ayatra Lehukulu, so he has all those three Gedis extra to darshan them, and all those Gedis are extra, because from the fact that the Pasuk could have just said Leisavashal Behema B'chalevimai. Why say Leisavashal Gedi? The terminology is being extra to make drashas to tell you Prat L'chaya V'ayif L'behema Tameya. To exclude a chaya, wild animal, a bird, fowl, and non-kosher animal, that they're not included in the biblical prohibition of cooking with milk. And he knows Shmuel's halachas without using it for those halachas, because he holds Issachal Alissa, and because he holds Shlil, you don't need a pasuk for it, it's Gedim Al Yehu. Now the Mishnah then quoted Rabbi Yisek Lili Yemer, he says, Nema Loisei Chelu, it says in the pasuk of Basa B'chalav, it also says that in the pasuk don't need a nevela, which she understands to mean to say, whatever can be prohibited because of the nevela, that's the same thing that will have the Isra of cooking those type of meat in milk. Now the Gemara says, Ma'ika ben Rabbi Yisek Lili Rabbi Kiva, what is the difference between the two of them? Meaning, Rabbi Kiva learns out from one of the terminologies of Gedi, that excludes Aif. Rabbi Yisek Lili also excludes Aif, although he learns it from a different source, because it says, L'savash ha-Gedi b'chalev imoy, and it's mother's milk. It's only talking about a type of a creature that has mother's milk, but birds don't have mother's milk. But either way, they're both saying the same halacha, what's the difference? Says the Gemara, Kibinayu Chaya, the other one, it's the other halacha that Rabbi Kiva mentioned that's the difference between them regarding wild animals. Rabbi Yisek Lili Sava Chai Daraisi holds that a wild animal is the biblical prohibition of Basa B'chalav. Like he said, he says whatever is prohibited because of Nevela will have the halacha of Basa B'chalav. So Chaya has the Isra of Nevela, so therefore will have the halacha of Basa B'chalav. Except for fowl, where it says it doesn't have mother's milk, that's excluded. Rabbi Kiva Sava Chai Drabban. Rabbi Kiva held that no, one of the Gedis excludes Chaya, and it's only rabbinically prohibited with milk. That's one interpretation. Or you could even say that the difference between them is in the halacha of fowl. Because Rabbi Kiva, that he explained, that his wording was that it's einam min hatayr, it's not biblical. Well, sava chayv if einam min hatayr, so he obviously holds that they're not biblically prohibited in Basa B'chalav. Hamid Rabbana, see, but the inference is, but rabbinically it is prohibited. Whereas Rabbi Yisag Lili, where he doesn't say that terminology, that it's not biblical, he actually permits it totally. Sava Eifa Filmid Rabban Lassi holds that even rabbinically there's no problem but having bird, having chicken with milk. And says the Gemara Tanam Halacha, similar in the Brisa, according to the Rizek Lili, there's not even a rabbinic prohibition in having chicken with milk. As the Brisa says, B'mukai Mishra Rabbi Yezer, in the place of Rabbi Yezer, first a different halacha, but similar ideas of leniencies, Hayukursin Eitzim, they would chop wood, Lassi's Pachamim, to make coals, Lassi's Barzel, to make iron, on Shabbos. Now, the reason why that is because Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that one could even have machshir mitzvah, preparatory acts of a mitzvah could override the Shabbos for a mitzvah that itself is Deicha Shabbos. So therefore, if they don't have a tool to make circumcision on Shabbos, they're allowed to chop wood to make cold, to make the knife on Shabbos to go ahead and do the circumcision, which is Deicha Shabbos. Now, another leniency is B'mkamesh Rabbi Yisrael Glili, Hoya Eichlin Basar Eich Pachal, they would eat chicken with cooked with milk. So again, you see clearly that, like the second interpretation, like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, that he even held that it's even rabbinically permitted, and that's the difference between him and Rabbi Akiva, even in Eich. Now, regarding this last halacha, the Gemara tells us that Levi Ikla Lebe Yasef Rishba. Levi went to the house of Yasef, the bird hunter. And Isla Kamei Resha did Tavasa Bechalba. They brought him the head of a peacock with milk, cooked in milk. V'loim Olamidi, he didn't tell them anything. Now, Kerasla Kamei the Rebbe, when he came in front of the Rebbe and told him, so Amalei, Rebbe said to him, Amalei Leitish Matina, why didn't you excommunicate them? What is this going on? The Basa Bechalba? So Amalei said to him, Asre Rebbe Huda ben Beseru, who was the place of Rebbe Huda ben Beseru. And I said, Darush Luk Rebbe Yisrael Glili, that he expanded for them like the opinion of Rebbe Yisrael Glili, the Amma that he says in our Mishnah, Yatza'if, She'en L'chalaveim, that excluded from the Issa Basa B'chalav is birds, which doesn't have mother's milk. And therefore, as we saw that even rabbinically, that won't be prohibited. And therefore, he says, I didn't excommunicate them because maybe they held it's actually permitted. Now the Mishnah says, considering these halachas of Basa B'chalav regarding halachas of meat and milk, Kavis Ovid Kachav. Now, although generally the Kava is one of the four stomachs, though, Obomasam, of the animal, but in this context, when we say the word Kava, it refers to the milk which is congealed inside the stomach, which is called rennet. So, talking about the rennet, Kavis Ovid Kachavim, talking about the rennet of an animal, of an idol worshiper, of a non-Jew, or Vishal Nevela, or from an animal that was not properly slaughtered, which the Gemara is going to ask, isn't that the same thing? The animal of a non-Jew, isn't that a Nevela? Isn't that the same thing? But either way, says the Mishnah, Harizu Asura. So, as a Nevela animal, it's prohibited. So too, the rennet, that milk that's found congealed inside the stomach of the animal, is also prohibited. Now, continues the Mishnah, related halacha, is Hamaimit. If someone curdles, curdling is a process of making milk into cheese, and the way they do that is ba'ur shel keva, with the skin of the stomach, which that's actually basar itself. So on that, the Mishnah continues on the beis, which the Gersa takes as the word ksheira, but it's referring to the skin of the stomach, which is then put into the milk, and that creates a process of curdling. So as we continue on to Talmud Beis, the Mishnah says, "Imyesh benoisin tam, if there's enough of a taste from the skin, which is meat, to give a taste into the milk that's being curdled, so then the milk is going to be prohibited because that's milk and meat. And this is a process which is giving taste into the milk, and therefore then it would be prohibited." Now, related to this halacha, Rashi brings at length, which is a big discussion in the Rishonim, regarding the milk that's found congealed in the skin of the keva. As we said, the keva is the stomach. The stomach is the nursing calf or the young animal that nurses from its mother, so it goes into the stomach. And that's where it gets digested. So that milk that's there in the ur hakeva, if that ur hakeva is salted, and the milk that's inside over there, it gets salted when they salt the animal, if it gets salted with the skin, so Rashi says, whether they put in other milk or whether they salted just with the skin, Rashi says it would seem to him that it's totally prohibited, like regular basa b'chalav, to make the cheese that's then curdled with it totally aser, and there's no way of permitting it, because even if you're going to say, like in our Mishnah, that, okay, if you take the skin of the animal's stomach and you put into the milk, it's not totally aser, but it doesn't give a taste, if it's, let's say, more than 60-1, so it's not going to be prohibited. Says Rashi, but if there's some milk inside the ur hakeva, I mean that's stuck onto the skin, so then that's totally prohibited. Now, and the reason for that is because that milk is chalav, and you salted it with the skin, and that's basa b'chalav. Now you're taking the basa b'chalav and putting it into the milk that you're curdling, you're making it with basa b'chalav. That's for sure going to be prohibited. Now he says there are those who want to permit it, and they bring a raya from a gemara we had previously, Kofiyat Avam and Beis, from hot fish that was put on a fleishig, on a meat plate, which we had said that you're allowed to eat that fish with kutach, which is a dairy dip. Why? Because that's what's called nat bar nat, noisen tam bar noisen tam, meaning the fish got taste from the plate, and the plate got taste from the meat. Now, so they want to say that the same thing is over here, that here it's also not by not. Why? Because the milk in the stomach only became forbidden because of the taste that it's getting from the skin of the animal's stomach. Then when it gives taste into the cheese, oh, that's a not by not. What's the problem? It's a secondary taste. The lining of the stomach gave taste into the milk, and then which was attached to it, and then that was put together into the regular milk, curdling it. It's a not bar not. So Rashi says that is so far away from that halacha naf kufir av mabez. Says by dogim sholam bakara, by the halacha of the fish in the plate, even though it absorbed the taste of the meat, but that fish is totally permitted to be eaten. There's no halachic problem in it's not basa b'chalav. It's in the fish itself. And that's not regarding the halacha of having a mixture of meat and fish. But regarding the halacha basa b'chalav, there's no problem. Then when you come to eat the fish with kutach, why would you make it forbidden? Because of the meat taste inside the fish. But that meat taste is not a significant taste because the fish didn't get a taste from the meat itself. Rather from something else, they got a taste from the meat itself. In contrast, he says, Nalacha that he's discussing regarding the milk that got salted with the meat, meaning the skin of the stomach itself, from the moment that the skin of the meat gives taste into the milk, both of them become an object of Isser, of a prohibited element, like the Gemara 7, Kof Chesam and Aleph, what's called Chanan, Chaticha Atzma Nas Nevela, because every taste that went into the milk, it was Basa B'chalav. So now every taste that comes out of that milk itself, let's say you take just that milk and you use it to curdle other milk to make it into cheese, whether it's the milk taste of the milk or whether the meat taste is inside of it, every part of that is usur. Because it's an entirely considered like a piece of nevela, like something totally not kosher. So when this milk mixes with the milk that you're making into cheese, that's actually what's called min b'mina, the same species. You have chalav nevela, so to speak, because that milk is totally like nevela in kosher milk. And we already said that chaticha nasas nevela, it becomes all one object of iser, and it makes everything forbidden. And we don't say not bar not, because even the milk taste inside that was originally there, the milk, is itself a prohibited item right now. And that's the halacha, like Rav, and so too the Gemara says in Pesachim, Nav Chavtes Mabez, halacha is that min b'mina is b'kol shu. Now when you go in and you take this milk and you curdle other milk with it, no matter how much amount it is, it's not going to be batel, because it's the same min. So Rashi says, I had treated this as a permissible halacha up until now, as long as you don't put in other milk. Rashi says that was an error. Why? Because he says, I thought from the Gemara Navei Dezer Chav Tesma Beis, it's halacha that says regarding the keva, which is the rennet from a carbon oila, the Gemara says over there that a kain that's not so delicate, he could drink that raw, he could just drink that milk that's inside that the stomach of the carbon oila. So what you could infer from that is that must be that that's not considered part of the animal. It's just like waste matter and it doesn't become forbidden. Says Rashi, no, that's not the case. That thing that's found inside the stomach is totally like milk. And therefore, again, like we're saying, if it's totally like milk, it becomes forbidden from the skin of the animal when they're salted together, because malich harikarisech, that makes it into basa b'chalav. The basa b'chalav, now when you're taking any part of that, if you're taking even the milk itself that was salted with and you put it into other milk, it's going to be totally forbidden. And even if you don't put in other milk, says Rashi, I thought, okay, fine, maybe that wouldn't be a problem. No, that milk itself is also prohibited. For the fact that we learn the next halach in our Mishnah says, k'sherish yonkum in atrefa. The kosher animal nourished from a trefa animal. So, says the Mishnah, kivasa asura. The milk, the rennet inside that kosher animal is prohibited. Says Rashi, what do you see from there? Obviously, it's considered milk. Because if it wasn't milk, if it's just waste matter, so then it should be permitted, even if it's from originally a trefa animal. So too, we learned the Braisa previously that says that the keva that was cooked with its milk is asur. Why? Because it's considered milk. Now, this that the rennet from the carbon oil is permitted, that's because, you're right, it's not considered part of the animal itself. Because that, what was actually in that carbon oil, had been nursed from its mother, which is not a carbon oila. It's just gathered inside the stomach of this animal, and it's like as if it's placed in a plate, and therefore it's permitted, as the next halacha of our Mishnah says. Treifa, Yonkum and Akshera, if a treifa animal, which you can't eat any of that animal, but it had nursed from a kosher animal, kevas muteris, its rennet, the milk inside of it is actually permitted. Why? All it is gathered inside. It's like having a kosher food item inside, like a bowl. The bowl is not kosher. You're not eating the bowl. So yeah, you could have that rennet from that treifa animal because it's actually milk, which it had nursed from a kosher animal. Now, however, says Rashi, although there are those who bring proof from the Gemara by the Zara that says by Isuri Hana, things that are prohibited to have benefit from it, but Pirshayu, that waste matter, is permitted. Now, the question is, but we find by the calves of Avodah Zarah, that their Pirshayu, their waste matter, is forbidden. As it teaches, Kevas Egli Avodah Zkechav Masira. It says that the rennet of the calves of Avodah Zarah are forbidden. Now, it sounds like, from that Gemara, that it's considering the rennet like waste matter. If it's waste matter, then Rashi's halacha is not correct. Because then there's no problem basa b'chalav. When you're salting it together with the skin, it's skin with waste matter. That's not skin and milk. Says Rashi, no, it's not because the rennet is pirsha. It's like waste matter regarding like as if it was totally decomposed, digested like feces of an animal, which even if it had originally been milk, but once it's waste matter, it's not like milk, that it shouldn't be considered milk at all. Says no. What the Gemara was being a proof from there was from the fact that we find that the rennet of Avodah Zarah is usur, obviously then that it's pirsha, it's waste matter, it's forbidden. Why? Because in that context, it's talking about the rennet is not the animal itself. That Rashi agrees to. And yet it's still forbidden because he likes it when the animal looks fatty and it looks big and it's expanded. So whatever waste is inside of it, it makes the animal look bigger. And that's a beautiful gift for the idol, for Avodah Zarah. So therefore says the Gemara, obviously the same thing would apply in Avodah Zarah to all other waste matter. Now, but from the fact that we find that by the carbon oila, it's permitted, obviously that's what the Gemara is saying, that we see that it's not forbidden in the oila, only the body itself. But waste matter, like in this type of situation, is going to be permitted. Because the kedusha, the sanctity, only takes effect on what's fit from that animal, from the carbon oila that's fit up for the mizbeach, just like we find actually by the skin of a carbon oila, which is given over to the ganim, that does not have that prohibition. But says Rashi, it's not that we're considering it as pirsha bi'alma, as those others who want to learn like that. No, it's only considered as pirsha that's not part of the animal itself. But it's still milk, and as we see the halacha of our Mishnah, it's still milk, and therefore, depending where it came from, we'll define it as such. And therefore, says Rashi, although the halacha said that when you're curdling milk by taking the oil of the animal, it's only forbidden if it gives taste, but if not, it's permitted. Says Rashi, it's only if there's no milk that was attached to that skin that you had salted, because if you did, then that actually is basa b'chalav, and then it's going to be asr, as a chaticha nas nevel as itself, and then actually you would have min b'minoy, which wouldn't be batal, it would make all that milk that you're curdling asr. Now the Gemara asks, Atu kevus avoid, we as alluded to the question in the Mishnah, Atu kevus avoid kacham lav neveli. What are these two opening halachas of the Mishnah talking about? The rennet that you find in the stomach of an animal, of an idol worshiper, or a nevela, isn't that one and the same? So Ravuni says, no, hocha belekech gedim and avoid kacham maskin. The first halacha that we're talking about is when a Jew buys a kid goat from an idol worshiper and the Jew slaughters the animal. Now, why are we calling it then the rennet of an idol worshiper and that's forbidden? It's because v'chashin and shemeyonek, we're concerned that maybe this animal had nursed this milk, mina trefa, from an animal that's a trefa. And therefore, the milk inside is prohibited, as wherever the milk came from, which is a trefa animal. That's why we say that rennet is forbidden. But it's actually a regular kid goat, which a Jew slaughtered. That has to get more. Micha, shina, shema, yonik, mina trefa. Are we really concerned with that? That the animal you're buying from a non-Jew, that maybe the milk inside of that kid goat had nursed from a trefa animal? But what's none? Which is a brisa that we learned. The Bryce says you're allowed to buy eggs from an idol worshiper. You're not concerned if you know that it's kosher from a kosher species. You're not concerned that maybe the non-Jew had found it in a chicken that died, which would be prohibited. Neither are you concerned that maybe he got it from a chicken that was a trefa, which the Gemara Neila Trefus and the Chesmanov says everyone agrees that the eggs from a trefa is forbidden. You see, we're not concerned for that. So we see that treifas are not so common to be concerned about. So why would we be concerned that the kid goat that you're buying from the non-Jew that rented inside might have been nursed from a treifa animal? So the Gemara says, you're right. El Eimer rather say, cheshinah shemayonik min ha-temeya. We're concerned that maybe this kid goat had nursed from a non-kosher animal. So as the Gemara, umayshna treifa do cheshinah. So what's the difference that a treifa animal you're not concerned that it nursed from? Umayshna temeya to cheshinah. Why are you concerned that it nursed from a non-kosher animal? Says the Gemara, treifa leshchicha. It's not so common that an animal, a creature, should be a treifa. So you're right, that we're not concerned for, not when you buy eggs, and not when you're, it's regarding the remnant of an animal. But tamei shchicha, non-kosher animals, are definitely common, and it's very possible when you're buying this kid goat from the non-Jew that it had just nursed from a non-kosher animal. Says the Gemara, but shchicha, if it's so common, then afilu gavadidan. Then even by us, by our kid goats, their milk, the milk inside, not the milk from their udder, but the milk that's inside the stomach, what's called the renu, what they had nursed, should also be asur because nechesh. We should be concerned that maybe this kid goat had nursed from a non-kosher animal. We don't know. Maybe it's one of the non-kosher animals on the farm. Says the Gemara, no. Anan debdelinan minayu, us, Jews, who we stay away from the non-kosher animals, and even when we see the kosher animal getting close to the non-kosher animal, we separate them. So the rabbis were not going to make a decree, because yeah, right, that's not so common. But them, who they don't keep the kosher animals away from the non-kosher. And when they see them getting close, they don't separate them. They're the rabban, made a gezer, and that's the halacha of our Mishnah, that they're rendered inside even a kosher animal that one bought from a non-Jew, and the Jew slaughtered, still the rendered is going to be forbidden. Another interpretation, the Shmuel Amri says, no, you're right, Chad de Ketani. It's one halacha that Mishnah is teaching, that why is the rendered of a non-Jew's animal forbidden is because of the halacha of Nevela. Keves shchitas aybikachav Nevela. The rendered from an animal slaughtered by a non-Jew is a Nevela, because the non-Jew can't slaughter, and therefore it's the rendered of a Nevela, and just like the Nevela is also, so too is the rendered found inside the stomach forbidden. But on this interpretation, the way he's defining the halacha of a Mishnah, ask the Gemara, Miyam Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel really say this, that the rennet of a nevela is going to be forbidden? Which obviously then he's considering the rennet as if it's part of the animal itself. But V'am Shmuel, says, M'sech Zavoy Dezara, M'mneima Astru Gevinas Ha'ivdikacham, why did Chazal say that the cheese of non-Jews are forbidden? So said Shmuel, M'mneisha M'midim Aysa, because they curdle that cheese, meaning the milk they're curdling turned into cheese, ba'ur kevas nevela. They put in the skin of the stomach of a nevela animal into that milk, thus giving the nevela taste into that, and that's why their cheese is forbidden. Now, but the inference is, it's only because they put in the skin of the stomach of the nevela, hakeva gufa, but if they would put in that milk which is congealed, which that's what we always mean when we mean in these halachas of keva, which although that's generally translated as the stomach, that then it actually would be shari, then it would be permitted. So you see that the renet itself we don't consider as the nevela itself. That contradicts how we explain the halach of our Mishnah. So Zimor Lekash is not difficult. Why? Kan Kredim Chazara. Shmuel, the way he's explained the halach of our Mishnah, meaning essentially the halach of our Mishnah, is before the retraction. Kan la'acha chazara, Shmuel's halacha of din avodah zarah is talking about after the retraction. What this is referring to is the Gemara in avodah zarah chavtes mebeis brings that Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Shua this halacha. Why did they say that the cheese of non-Jews are forbidden? So they said to him because they curdle it with the rennet of a nevela. In other words, not the skin, but the milk itself that's inside. So that he said back to him, but you have the halacha of the rennet of a korban oila, which Kachim is more severe than that of the rennet of an avela, and still Chazal said that any kohen who is not so delicate could drink it. You see, it's not considered part of the korban oila itself. So he said to me, right, no, the reason is because they curdle their cheese with the rennet of calves of idolatry. That's why it's forbidden. Now, one thing you see from this is that, so he retracted from his answer by saying that it's problematic because that they curdle with the rennet of an avela, because obviously, the rennet is not considered part of the animal itself, part of the nevela itself. It's only a problem when it's from an idol of avodah zarah. There, as we mentioned before, even the waste matter is forbidden, as the Gemara says over there, because it adds to the avodah zarah, because he likes when the animal looks big, which even its excrement, it adds to its expansion, and therefore there it would be a problem. But regularly, like by nevela, we don't consider the keva, the rennet itself, as part of the animal itself. So therefore, our Mishnah that says that it is a problem, like by nevela, which as Shmuel explained it, is before the retraction, and that's why it's aser. But when Shmuel said it's halacha about the zara, that it's only the skin of the stomach that makes it forbidden, but the granite itself would be permitted, that was after the retraction. Now, our Mishnah, once it was taught, even though they subsequently retracted it, was not removed from its place and they didn't take it away. Rather, they were going to continue teaching it, but the halacha is not like the Mishnah Rishayna, which is our Mishnah, but rather like the Mishnah Achrayna, which is that after they retracted, they said that actually the cave of Nevela actually would not be problematic. But that doesn't contradict Shmuel, because our Mishnah is before the Chazar. Now, the Gemara continues that our Mishnah said, if a kosher animal nursed from a treifa animal, it's problematic, because what's gathered inside is an element from a non-kosher animal, meaning from the treifa animal. But the flip side is also true. If a treifa nursed from a kshera, although all the part of the animal of the treifa is forbidden, the rennet inside, which is actually from a kosher animal, is actually going to be permitted. Now, on that as the Gemara, but Vaktani Reisha, we learned previously in the Mishnah that said, Kavis Evikachav, it said, regarding the rennet from the animal of a non-Jew, or Vishal Nevel of an animal that was not properly slaughtered, says Harezu Asura, that it's forbidden, which tells us that the rennet is considered part of the animal itself. But then, in the same Mishnah, it says, that the rennet from a treifa is permitted, because it says that a treifa that nursed from a kosher animal, its rennet is permitted. What's the difference between Nevela and treifa? They're both non-kosher animals, that you can't eat their meat, and what's with the rennet inside its stomach? The Reish of Nevela says is Asur, and by treifa it says it's Mutter. So Rav Chisdi says, the reason is as follows. You're right, really it should be permitted. But Reisha, Nira Ka'echel Nevelas, when you have a Nevela animal, so then it appears, if we're going to allow you to consume the rennet, it looks like you're eating the nevelas. So then we said it's forbidden. But hachei kashchita, hereby treifa animal, right? Nevela was one that wasn't properly slaughtered, so it just died. So it looks like a nevela, some dead carcass, and he's eating the rennet. It looks like he's eating from the nevela. But here, by the treifa that was yonker from the kshera, there is at least slaughtering. So there it's not as repulsive as nevela, and moreover, there's really no prohibition, not by Nevela and not by Trefa, as we say at the end of the Mishnah, because all it is just gathered in its stomach, but it's really from somewhere else, and it's not from itself. The difference is, by a Nevela, it looks like eating Nevela is here. It looks like a regular, properly slaughtered animal, and it's not as repulsive, so there's no reason to make the rennet forbidden. On that, I'm Le Rava, but he says, well, I've called the Kainu. Isn't it a Kol Shekain? To the contrary, if you're saying the rennet of Nevelas is also for sure that of a Trefa, because a man Nevela de Meisa, if a Nevela, a dead animal, it's repulsive, it's disgusting, the flies are all over it, it died, it wasn't slaughtered. The Sharus La Kevasa, where if you're going to permit the rennet to be eaten, no one's really going to come to eat from the animal itself, because to a Jew especially, a non-properly slaughtered animal is repulsive. And still, Amrit Lai, still you said no, by Nevela, you can't eat the rennet. So treifa shchuta, so when you have an animal just has a mortal defect, which is a treifa, but it was slaughtered. These shars, if you permit the person to eat the rennet, also lemechem, and people might actually come to eat from the meat itself. Like Kol Shekain, isn't all the more so for sure we should forbid the rennet? Why is it permitted by treifa and also by Nevela? So Elam Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yechanan, he says, like Kasha, similar to the theme we mentioned before, says, Khan, over here in the Reisha, which is like the Mishnah Rishayna, was Kaidim Chazara. That was taught before the retraction. Yeah, before the retraction, they held that the rennet is considered part of the animal, and therefore it's just like the Nevela, and therefore it's Aser. Khan Lach Chazara, here in the Seifa by the Treifa, was talking about after the retraction, which after retraction was saying, no, it's not considered part of the animal itself, it's whatever it came from just gathered inside over here. And therefore, when the Treifa is Yonka from Ukshera, it's kosher milk, and therefore one could use it. But the original Mishnah wasn't removed from its place, and we kept the Reisha. Oh, but ultimately, the retraction was taught here in the Seifa, which is the Mishnah Achrayna, and says that really, the rennet is going to be permitted. It's not considered part of the non-kosher animal itself. Now, the Gemara brings lahalacha differences in understanding that Amr b'chiyah bar Abba, Amr b'yechanan. He says, Mamidim b'kevis nevelis. He says, we can curdle cheese, kosher milk, with the rennet of an animal that wasn't properly slaughtered, which, like we said, the Mishnah Achrayna holds like that the rennet is not considered part of the nevela itself. It's from the kosher mother that it nursed from, so that's okay. But you cannot curdle milk with the rennet from an animal that was slaughtered by idol worshippers. Now, so Amal Afan Reb Shimbar Abbi says, come on, who's that last halacha going like? Rabbi Eliezer, like Rabbi Eliezer? Because what's the problem that it was slaughtered by a non-Jew? So what does that make? It makes a nevela. You said you could curdle with kavas nevela. Oh, obviously the problem is when the idol worshiper slaughters the animal, is because like Rabbi Lezer, that he holds, in general, the thought process of an idol worshiper when he's doing anything like slaughtering an animal is for idolatry. So therefore, you're right. Although the render is not considered part of the animal itself, it's still going to be forbidden, as we said before, because even waste matter, which this milk is not less than that, is forbidden by an animal that was slaughtered for idolatry, because he likes the expansion of the animal. And therefore, that's why you're saying in that case, it's going to make the rennet forbidden. So Amalei said to him, yeah, of course, Ve'el Kaman, who else? Obviously, you don't have to ask that. Obviously, this halacha is based on the opinion of Rabbi Yasser. Now, however, Ki Yasser of Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar B'yechanan, he said the name of Rabbi Yechanan, not like that. He said, Mamidin, you could curdle the cheese, to make into cheese, Be'mekevish Nevela, whether with the rennet of an animal that wasn't properly slaughtered, Be'mekevish Chidus Abikachavma, whether in the rennet that from was an animal that was slaughtered by a non-Jew, because like both these halachas, the rennet is not from the animal itself, it's just gathered inside. And moreover, Shlei Locha, Shlei Rebbe Eliezer, we're not concerned for the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, who says that, as if they had the thought process of idolatry, we're not concerned for that, and therefore it's not considered like a Avodah Zarah, and therefore there's no problem with the rennet of even an animal slaughtered by a non-Jew. Concludes the Gemara of Hilchas, the halacha is, Ein mamidin ba'or keves nevela. So although we're talking about the cave itself, but the skin, which is the basar of the stomach of a nevela animal, you can't curdle with that, because that's literally the nevela itself. That is part of the animal. Aval mamidin ba'keves nevela, but you could curdle, like we said before, with the rennet from the nevela and the rennet from an animal slaughtered by a non-Jew. And then there's in parentheses, and you could also curdle with the rennet from a kosher animal which nourished from a trefa animal, which that animal is not permitted to be eaten. And for sure it's permitted, from the rennet that a trefa animal nourished from a kosher animal. My time, but what's the reason? Because chalva makunisba, the milk that's gathered inside the stomach, pirshva amahu, is really like waste matter. So it doesn't make a difference where it came from. If it came from a kosher animal and it's in the non-kosher animal, so that's for sure not a problem because it's not part of the non-kosher animal itself and it came from a kosher animal. And even if it's a kosher animal that nourished from a non-kosher animal, but that milk, once it gets into the stomach of the animal, it's like waste matter. And even if it was originally non-kosher milk, it's like waste, and waste doesn't have that element anymore, therefore it's not going to be forbidden. Now, the Masoreis HaShas, the Gemara brings, that obviously these parentheses, according to Rashi, you can't have that girsa, because Rashi holds, as we've mentioned before, that actually what's gathered in the stomach, this rennet, is considered for sure bona fide milk. It's not part of the animal itself, and that's what the Gemara Avodah Zarah means when it's pirsha, but it's not really waste matter, considering that it's like totally digested as if it's feces. Now, Tais and the Rif do have the girsa, but the Rishonim write that obviously this is not part of the Gemara itself, rather the terminology of Ga'inim, and therefore that wouldn't be difficult on Rashi. It's not from the primary text of the Gemara, and the Rana actually brings a different text that says that the rennet from a tree for the nurse from a kosher animal, that's okay, as we learned in the Mishnah, because that's where it came from. It's milk, but it's milk from a kosher animal. V'loi bekev is ksher, shiyankam in the treifa, but not the rennet of a kosher animal, nurse from a treifa, like we learned in the Mishnah, which that would be like Rashi, because yes, that is considered still bona fide milk, and it came from a treifa animal, and therefore, according to Rashi, that would still be forbidden as the milk of a treifa animal. And therefore, if one would go ahead and curdle milk to turn it to cheese, that would make it forbidden because of the prohibited element of the tray for milk that is curdling it.